Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. I want to welcome all of the podcast people, and I've gotten some good response from podcasts lately. Charles, I think you've seen some of our feedback from it. So, Metron people, welcome the podcast people to Metron Live, coming to you from beautiful and historic Midtown Atlanta. I'm very energized by what I want to talk about this month. I'm taking my title. I don't know if y'all ever heard this movie called Star Wars. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was out a few years ago. It didn't do that well. But my title, oh, that's good. That's good, Michelle. It's May the Force Be With You, Discovering New Dimensions of the Holy Spirit in the Now. Don't you already feel it? What? That's what they used to call being quickened. And let me tell you, when people get quickened, they're not making that up. That's not just a cultural thing. They're feeling the energy of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just get into these scriptures really quick, because I've got to build something and then deconstruct something. Rightly dividing the word means that you take it apart. This is a verse I've shared with you many, many times. This is John 16:7. This is in the Passion Translation, where Jesus says, "But here's the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you, but after I depart, I will send him to you." Now, let me tell you why this is remarkable on several levels. For centuries, prophets prophesied that a Messiah was coming. He walks in the door virtually saying, "I've got to go." Groucho Marx used to have I think it was his theme song. It was called "Hello, I Must Be Going." And this is astounding, because everybody in the Jewish mindset who was cognizant of the scriptures was waiting for a Messiah to come set up a kingdom in which the lion would lay down with the lamb, and, you know, all of these messianic prophecies. Well, this person named Jesus is born, and his name, you know, the letter J didn't even exist till the 14th century. So his name was actually like what we would call Joshua. It was Yeshua. It was actually started with a Y. That's why when people get too much tunnel vision about the name of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, I think, well, you might better do a little more study on that, because I think you're missing the point. Nobody in his world would have called him Jesus the way that we say it in English. But what's amazing here is at the end of John's gospel, especially when you get to chapter 14, 15, and 16, it's where he's wrapping things up with his disciples, and he's trying to tell them goodbye, and they just keep saying, "What about Israel? What about, are you going to restore the kingdom?" You know, and he basically ignores their questions, and he's on this one track. They're talking about, "What about us? What about Israel? What happens now?" And he's like, "Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit." It's like they're nearly talking about two complete different things. And when he says, the King James says, "It is expedient for you that I go away." Here he says, "It's necessary that I go away." This is astounding. I've been teaching on this for years, but for the people who think Jesus came to start Christianity, they need to understand he said, "No, I've got to go. As long as I'm in this incarnation, my ministry is nationalistic. You're seeing a man, you're seeing a Jew, you're seeing Israel, and you're going to get tunnel vision about God. I have to go away." It's interesting, man. I'm just really feeling this word strong. I'm not even kidding. When you're in the zone of revelation, your ear becomes very sensitive to confirmation. It's everywhere. Even last night, we go to Under These Hills. We sit down. Some people come out and they do a little folk music first. It was sweet. When the drama starts at precisely 8 p.m., they show, and it was really cool because the cast is made up of Caucasians and African Americans who are all, and Native Americans who are all playing Cherokees. It's really interesting how they cast it. And it starts by showing ancient people, and it says they're all meeting one another, and, it, and they said people who believed in the Great Spirit, or some would call it the Force. I'm like, what? Did you just get my notes that I'm teaching on this month? But this script was written 70 years ago. He said they didn't know how to hate each other. People that live close to the earth and close to the sun and close to the water. And it was talking about why the Native Americans initially embraced white people so much, because they weren't, it just wasn't in their nature to hate. And they went to war over legitimate things, like somebody's stealing land or something. But if strangers came, their first instinct was to be hospitable to them. And I can't tell you, and this is an apolitical statement, but I can't tell you how ironic this script was with the way some people have believed now that their Christianity is nationalism, or their idea of patriotism is really xenophobia. And when you're watching this, you're thinking, wow. And sure enough, as the thing transpires, the white people, you got to watch them. You know, here we go. You know, the white people lie. White people tell. I mean, white people did a lot of good stuff. You know, the Europeans built some amazing empires, but, ooh, Lord, there's some skeletons in that closet. It just is. It's part of our history, and that's actually one reason I want to go to Cherokee, because it's kind of looking at it wide-eyed and saying, well, this is part of it. This is what happened here, and it's part of why we are where we are now. When we go on these meditation weekends, you will get more out of it than just meditating. You hear what I'm saying? More things are happening to you. They're happening to you spiritually, intellectually, whatever. I don't know how it's all going to pan out, but it's the wave of the future. I know that. So anyway, Jesus says, I have to go away. And he starts talking about something else. Now, most English translations use the pronoun he, or capitalize it. When he comes. He will lead you in all truth. Original language, most of it says when it comes. Now, stay with me here, because I'm going to go, what's that company that goes in and raises your foundation? What are those people that when your house starts sinking? You know what I'm talking about? There's a company that they go to your foundation. It's one of those. Anyway, we're going to do that. We're not working in the roof today. We're going under. So just stay with me. You go to the day of Pentecost. What does Luke say? In Jerusalem were Romans, Jews, Arabs, Africans, people from Asia Minor. Basically, everybody in the known world was in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and they heard them speak the wonderful works of God in their own language. So we understand, as long as Jesus was Jesus, then God is male, God is Jewish, God is this, God is that. When he says it's necessary that I go away, everybody sees God. Joel says, in the days of fulfillment, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He didn't say, I'll pour out my Jesus. We'll pour out my spirit. When I first started hearing people talk about inclusion or Christian universalism, when I read it, I thought, these people are just talking about the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit was supposed to do, is to bring global, universal message. Stay with me. Let me show this to you. Before we go back, Michelle. The reason I wanted to start with this, because he says, divine encourager. I was raised with a Holy Spirit that only had one purpose, to convict you of sin. If you came out of my similar background, oh, I'm under so much conviction, spirits. So basically, our idea of the Holy Spirit was the nag. The one who just, seriously. When you read Revelation, the accuser of the brethren, I'm like, it's not Lucifer, it's the Holy Spirit. Because you never, and I used to hear people misquote this all the time. There's a scripture in, what is it, Genesis 6. It's after Noah comes out of the ark, and Moses says, when he writes the story, that God says, my breath will not always remain in man. In other words, he will not always live in the physical form. And the King James says, my spirit will not strive with men always, but I will give them 120 years. He's basically said, they won't live on the earth forever, but they can shoot for 120 years. Do you know how I heard that said my whole life? My whole life, when people would give altar calls, Holy Spirit's dealing with you. You better come tonight because God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. They would say it like it was a threat. Like if you don't come tonight, he's going to give up on you. Because he's like nagging you, nag. And then if you don't respond, it's like he has two speeds. It's either on your butt or leaving you the heck alone. Like, wow, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is hard. It's like this is a high maintenance, complicated person who's either just riding me or that's it, I'm out of here. I mean, can you imagine trying to have a relationship with somebody like that? You'd be like, this is too hard. So when I read this, the divine encourager, I think, wow, that's not how I learned the Holy Spirit. I learned the Holy Spirit was this. Then let me show the same verse to you in the Message. John 16:7. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send, and he uses the word him, to you. Wow, friend. When I was in Bible college, I had to take a course called pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. And we learned about the word parakletos, which gets translated in English paraclete. It means the standby, the helper. Someone who's friendly to you, not someone. If you had somebody that just nagged you constantly, but then you didn't respond to their nagging, they never spoke to you again, how could you be friends with that person? You'd be like, we're not friends. You're not the divine encourager. You're just irritating. Stay with me. Now let me show you. This is John 16, verse 13 and 14. This is in the concordant literal version. Yet whenever that may be coming, the Spirit of truth, it will be guiding you into all the truth, for it will not be speaking from itself. But whatsoever it should be hearing, will it be speaking, and of what is coming, will it be informing you. That will be glorifying me, seeing that of mine will it be getting and informing you. Now, before I show you this next verse, hear me out. You hear my spirit. And let me say this to you. If I ever mess with your tradition in a way that makes you feel disoriented, you judge it by your spirit. If it doesn't make you feel closer to God, if it doesn't give you more peace, if it doesn't make you a better person, if it doesn't make you more loving, then call me a heretic. Call me a false prophet. If, however, it makes you be a better person, makes you more loving, makes you fulfill the gospel, which is basically love God and love others. That's all the gospel is. If it makes you do that, if it makes you want to come back next week, if it makes you want to learn more, then trust your spirit. Because what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I would not have had the courage to say this 10 years ago, but I'm going to say it to you right now. I have a long history with the Holy Spirit. My father was a Pentecostal preacher. Both my grandfathers were. My maternal grandparents were a big part of the Pentecostal revival at the turn of the last century. My grandfather, Paul, was ostracized from the community. Pentecostals, they weren't treated like African Americans were. They weren't lynched, but they got run out of town. He got run out of town lots of times. I mean, the holy rollers were considered they were a pariah on the community. And I've told you lots of stories about some of the stuff he went through. My dad's church was very involved, very connected to the charismatic renewal of the late 60s and early 70s. So I've got Pentecostal roots, what we call Pentecostal, classical Pentecostal. I've got neo-Pentecostal roots, charismatic. I mean, that's so much a part of me. I can't even explain. I mean, it's like my arms and legs and eyes and ears, like Holy Spirit. I mean, the kind of church I came from, we heard about the Holy Spirit more than we heard about Jesus, okay? I remember, I think it was Howie. Howie and I were in Lakeland, Florida. We were passing out tracts or doing street witnessing, and these two young boys were, we were in a lake, a park with a lake in it, and they were standing there at the water's edge, and I gave them a tract and said, I said, do you boys know who Jesus is? And one of them said, yeah. He said, Jesus is this. And then he jumped in the water and started flailing around. He said, and the Holy Ghost is this. And I said, actually, you're kind of right. I mean, it was like out of the mouth of babes. I was like, wow, that's amazing that this kid interpreted a complex theological concept in two body language. I was like, yeah, well, that's pretty much it. having said that, and now before I say that, let me say this. When I was meditating about speaking on this month, I started thinking about some of the things that have happened in my life that I wouldn't take anything for. That I know it was real. I know when my grandfather Swilly was in the basement of his church and their maintenance man was an Armenian man, and my grandfather, who came from Valdosta, was praying in the spirit or speaking in tongues. I know when he spoke Armenian and the maintenance man understood what he said. I know that when my Uncle Harry's ancestors came from Armenia to escape the Armenian Holocaust, They were walking down Azusa Street in Los Angeles. The door was open. Reverend Seymour was the African-American man who started the Church of God in Christ. He was praying. He didn't know Armenian. He was praying in their language and gave them instruction on what to do and where to move. Like, you can never take that away from me. I remember, speaking of Howie, you know, my roommate, one night when we roomed together, for some reason, we were sitting up late, and we started talking about the things of God, which was rare for us. I'm just going to tell you, honestly, most of the time it was gossiping about other people that we didn't like or whatever. I mean, you know, Howie and I didn't have that kind of relationship. But for some reason that night, we just kind of got spiritual, and he said, I want to pray. I said, well, let's pray. So we start praying, and we just prayed for like a long time. And back then, I really prayed in the spirit, prayed in my prayer language a lot. So we're praying, and we're like getting into it. You know, it's going on for a while. And all of a sudden, he stops and looks at me. I said, what? And he said, you're speaking Guarani. I said, what? Howie's parents were missionaries to Paraguay, and Guarani is a language that's part Portuguese, part Indian dialects that are put together. He said, I know what you're saying. I said, what am I saying? He said, do it some more. So I'm like, shandarabakaba. You know, I start saying it. And he says, he starts interpreting it. He says, oh, you're saying, I love the Lord. I love, you know, it was nothing profound. I was just praising in a language I'd never even heard of it. I also know there were other times where that didn't work. I remember 1981. Y'all stay with me. I was in Nigeria, And the main conference was at this church in Lagos. Lagos is a megalopolis. I mean, 20 million people there. So there's mega churches everywhere. And the church I was at had 20,000. And so I'm preaching. It's just thousands of a sea of people. So many people that when I had a healing line at the end, it would take like 2 hours to do it. I finally, at some point, John Conyers with me. I said, John, I just laid hands on him. I said, here, let me give you some of this, and you, because I can't, we'll be here all night. I can't, there's not enough time. The pastor has a schedule for us. He wants us to go out the next day to go out to this village and minister. So we get, driver takes us, and we drive, and we drive, and we drive, and we drive. I'm like, good Lord, where is this place? Village so remote, they've never seen white people there. The little kids in the village line up to feel of my skin to see if it's going to wear off. And, you know, they're touching my hair. They're just, like, fascinated. So I go in for the meeting that night. There's a couple hundred people there. Pretty much everybody in Lagos speaks English, not out in these villages. These people have their indigenous language that I can't even find an interpreter for. And so I tried it that night. I thought, let me just try to speak in tongues. Maybe they'll understand. It didn't work. I'm speaking in tongues. They're still looking at me like, what are you doing? And I mean, I just cannot find a way to connect with these people. So I said, well, bring me that keyboard. So they bring the keyboard over. The keyboard is Russian. Everything in it is Russian. And I can't, every button I hit, it's just, this thing is spiraling downward. I can usually save it, but on this one, I'm like, good Lord, why did we drive 3 hours to this place? So finally, I haven't told this in years. I finally motioned them to come up, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And somebody understood enough that I was saying, if you're sick, I'll pray for you. So, I mean, I laid hands on them, and mostly they're just looking at me like, I mean, they're basically just, it's like a novelty nearly. Like, what are you doing? And I was so, when we left, I finally just thought, I'm going to have to end the service. I mean, we're just not making any contact at all. And I was really depressed when I got in the car. I remember that long ride back to Lagos, and I thought, I mean, I'm telling you, you can hear some weird voices when you have a night like that. You can hear voices saying, you're not anointed. It's not real. God's not real. Holy Spirit's not real. It's because you're gay. That's what it is. I mean, I'm being candid with you. You hear all, by the time I got to Lagos, I was about ready to quit the ministry. Next morning, we go for breakfast. The pastor in Lagos says, have you heard what happened? I said, what are you talking about? He said, the meeting last night. What? He said, you prayed for a man who's like the village. He's not a witch doctor, but he's like the patriarch of the village. He's the oldest man. Everybody goes to him for, like, he basically, they don't use the term mayor, but he's that. He's the guy in the village. He has had nonstop pain in his head for years. They have tried everything to stop it. They've tried every witch doctor remedy to stop it. He said, as soon as you laid hands on him, the pain stopped, and he's just beside himself. He's told the whole village, this whole revival is broken out. They all want to find out about Jesus. And I was like, wow, I sure wouldn't have seen that one coming. So what I learned is the Holy Spirit can communicate. Either you can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, or it can be the gifts of the Spirit. And I could stand here and tell you story after story, without embellishment, of things that have happened to me that nobody will ever take away from me. I don't identify as Pentecostal or charismatic anymore, but I love that I came from that, because I love they were out of the box. I love they at least believed in the supernatural. I think where I was there and then led me to where I am now. It was necessary that Jesus went away so that it could come. Let me show you this next. This is out of the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. This is verse 13. Yet whenever that one, that spirit of the truth, or the breath effect from reality, the attitude, remember that word, which is genuineness may come, or he, it, or he will constantly be a guide and will progressively lead you on the path, or it will continue leading the way for you, directed toward and proceeding on into all truth and reality, or into the midst of every truth and genuine reality. For it, or he, or it, will not habitually speak from itself or himself, but rather as many things as it, or he, or it continuously hears. It, he, or it will proceed speaking and will continue reporting back to you the things presently and progressively coming, as well as those that are habitually coming and going. Bishop, what are you talking about? Get to the point. What's all this he and it stuff? All right, here's the part I would have never had the nerve to say. There are things about the Trinity and the Holy Spirit as it was presented to me that never made sense to me. And I lived in a world where you didn't dare question it. We were so afraid you were going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, commit the unpardonable sin. Don't ask. But I remember as a little boy thinking, well, how can there be one God? And we used to sing, you know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And I think, well, you're telling me we have one God, but you're telling me it's God in three persons. Then you're telling me it's a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. Why, if it's a family, why isn't there a mother? Why is this totally male? And then you're telling me, don't call the Holy Spirit it, call him, because he is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. So if I say, well, then should we worship him? Oh, no, you don't worship him. Like, all right, none of this is making sense. How can there be a Father and a Son with no mother? How can God be one and three? And how can you tell me he's God, but it's forbidden for me to worship him? I mean, this is such convoluted theology. And as I got older, I realized this is different people taking different verses of Scripture too literally. I know Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter. It's pointless for you to I know more about those verses then probably you do, so there's no point in telling me. I'm just saying, when you see it all put together, you think, something's not right about that. Something's not jiving. I know these things that have happened to me in the spirit were real, but when I try to make it fit into this theology, it's a square peg fitting in a round hole. It doesn't make sense to me. How do we visualize the Trinity? You know, you don't, what do you paint? You paint God, a European white guy with a long beard, and then Jesus, who's a 33-year-old Israeli man, and then what, a dove? I mean, what's like, if the Holy Spirit's God, why does God have a face and Holy Spirit doesn't? And when I would ask it growing up, if I did even get in the, even ask my professors, you know what the question was? If you deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. If you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. So we just left it at that. Like, well, it's a mystery. But something inside me was like, I know Holy Spirit is real, and I'm not denying these scriptures, but something about the way y'all put this whole thing together just is weird. Something about my spirit doesn't accept this. In 1985, I wrote a song called We Adore You, Holy Spirit, and Candy Staten recorded it. And when she recorded that one, another one, that's how I got with ASCAP. That song was very controversial because I was using metaphor. It was like, you are a spirit, you are a river, you are a dove, you are the latter rain falling from above. We adore you, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this. You can find Candy's version of it. People get on TBN and preach against it. And this song about you can't adore the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, Holy Spirit's not a river. He's God. He's God. And I'm like, wow, you people have no sense of poetry or metaphor. Y'all are freaking me out because you're telling me the Holy Spirit's God, but you're mad at me because I said we adore you, Holy Spirit. Oh, he's God, but you can't worship him. It's, I was going to say nuts, but it's crazy. Years ago, 1977, I'm home from college. A friend of mine from high school who was a big science fiction nerd said, I want to take you to see this movie. What's this movie? It's called Star Wars. Well, what's it about? It's science fiction. Oh, Bill, I'm not really a science fiction guy. Oh, you're going to love this. Just go see it. Okay. We drive over to Terra over here on Cheshire Bridge. People are lined around the block to get in this theater. I'm like, what the heck is this? We go sit down in a galaxy far, far away. And I got into it. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of a parable, you know, the Darth Vader figure is kind of like a, if you think Lucifer became Satan, which, by the way, he didn't, but that's another teaching. Lucifer and Satan are two different things. But there's an idea that someone was good and then fell and became, the voice of evil. But what really struck me is they kept talking about this thing called the Force. May the Force be with you. And this is how the Force works. And I felt this in the Force, whatever. And every time they would say it, I would think, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I couldn't say that to anybody in church. The Holy Spirit is God. Well, then worship him. No, you can't worship him. Y'all need therapy. We go to under these hills last night, their opening statement. Again, they talk about the great spirit and the force, and people learned all these things that Christians came in and said, oh, that's wrong and demonic. No, it wasn't. If I may tell you this story for the bazillionth time, a few years ago, Ernie and Avery were with me. We were in Uganda. The church there had a very vibrant youth group, beautiful Ugandan. Oh, Karen, you were there. They could tell from my teaching that I was pretty open-minded about stuff. Pastor says, the youth group would like to do something for you tonight in the service, if it's okay. Oh, yeah, sure, great. Well, they come walking in all of their indigenous garb, what white people would call native, and they start doing this thing that's like a fertility dance. I mean, it's spiritual, but it's sexual too. And the boys are all drumming and the girls are, twerking and it's just like, but it had like really this positive energy, and they just, these beautiful kids, just like beautiful smiles. You could tell they were so into it. They were so free, and there was something in them that felt this permission in a Christian context. Because here I'm an authority figure. I'm the bishop from America that's ordained several of these pastors. And I'm saying this is okay. And I'm into it. I get into it. When Chandra starts doing the whatever she does, I'm like, I feel the ancestors. They're like, you're not African. Yes, I am. We all are. Everybody's ultimately African. They trace the earliest people back to the Nile River, so. I can't help it. I mean, the opening thing of Lion King, I can't even do it. I already am like, yeah. So when they got through, I came up. I said, I just want to validate what you guys just did. I said, this is really beautiful. And let me tell you that your ancestors, they didn't know to say the name of Jesus and the things that white missionaries came from Europe and told them. They were worshiping God. And they might have called it the sun or the moon or whatever. What you did is you tapped into something that was universal, that was before the Bible. And it was just, when you have one of those moments of clarity when you think, this is so right what I'm saying. It's like my professors from Bible college would say, don't ever tell anybody you graduated from this school. But I know what I'm saying is the truth. And remember the next year we were there and we went to that that heritage place, and I had my clerical collar on, and the same thing happened. And the man, we got through, he said, I just want to say, because he thought I was a priest, he said, my mother is Anglican, and she tells me that when we do these dances that it's demonic. He said, to have a priest here approving this, because I'm clapping along, whatever, he said, there's no way to tell you what it means to me. You know, we did some things in Uganda and bore some fruit, and that's fine. That one night is more meaningful to me than anything else that ever happened. What, Avery, what?
The universe made you wear that collar.
Yes. You are right. Because I didn't want to wear it that night because I'd been preaching in it all day and I was sweated down. I said, please, let's go to the hotel first. Let me change clothes. Because when you're out in public and wear it, everybody notices you. They call you father or whatever. And the traffic was too bad. And I said, you know what, let's just go on. And if I hadn't had my collar on, he would have never interpreted. I would go so far as to say if that's the only reason I ever went to Uganda, it was enough. What I'm saying is, and hear me, this is the ministry of reconciliation. If I wasn't born for any other reason, I came here for this. I stand at a crossroads for lots of different schools of thought. And I don't want to alienate this side or that side or whatever. I want to be a linchpin. I want to bring it together. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and all of those things. I don't want to ever lose connection with what we called the anointing. I also, as part of one reason we're going to go to Cherokee, I also want to be able to sit and see indigenous people talk about a great spirit, or talk about having spirit animals, or talk about the force, or talk about natural remedies, or talking about, look, you remember a few years ago when the tsunami came to Sri Lanka? You know, 2 days before, the animals knew it, and the animals went to high country. You say, well, that's instinct. No, baby, that's the force. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away, because if I stay here, y'all are going to start Christianity. And Christianity is not why I came. I came to identify with you, to let you know that there's not a God somewhere who's mad at you. And if it takes me going to a cross and shedding blood, God doesn't need it, but you need it. So, all right, if this gives you a focal point, fine. But after that, it's necessary that I go away, because if I don't, you're going to start this thing called Christianity that's not what I came for. It's not just enough to know why he came. You need to know why he left. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. I know I got to shut up. Let me tell you why this is important. If you don't internalize this principle, you will not know how to let things go in your life. You'll hold on to everything and not understand why it's necessary that some things go. In the year King Uzziah died, I finally saw the Lord. Why? Because till he died, all I could see was him. Avery and I talked about it Thursday. We're talking about change. I said, I know I'm feeling change, but I also know not to stress over it, because I think when you stress over it, you dam up the river. So you have to say, change is coming, and I'm hands off with it. Like, I'm ready for it, but I'm not going to try to manipulate it. And you know what scriptures came to mind? The demons say to Jesus, please don't send us out of this country. Let us go into the pigs. Jesus said, when the demon leaves a man, he roams in dry places and says, I'm going to have to go back home where I came from. You know why a large part of religion is what we would call demonic, and why Jesus says you are of your father the devil? Because Religion stifles change. Religion says, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we've always believed it. This is the way we've always sung it. And if you don't believe it or see it our way, you're wrong. Theology is an ever-evolving thing. So that I can tell you, I could sit up all night with you and tell you Holy Ghost stories that would be real, that would have the hair on your back of your neck standing up. I can also meditate. I can be with in a Native American thing and tap into Great Spirit. That totally makes sense to me. I can go to Africa and be with people doing indigenous dances from ancient worship rituals, and it never occurs to me that they're doing anything wrong. But Bishop, it just kind of seems sexual. Who do you think invented sex? The white Puritans that came from England, they were messed up. Most of the problems in America now is people have been too puritanical about stuff. Sex is a part of life. Why do you think so much of it in the church is underground? People can't tell the truth about their sexuality. Why? Because, well, the Bible said, I'm wrong about this. You need to rightly divide it. If you heard Bishop said we just go out and have a good time, that's not what I said. Jesus asked the woman caught in adultery, where are your accusers? I don't have any. Well, you're good to go, but go and sin no more. I'm not condemning you, but if you sleep around with these men, these guys are going to come out and stone you. It's not coming from me. All right, I've got it. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to have time. Put a comma there, and I'll pick up these next two things. Yeah, it's going to even be better next week. Stand up. And I haven't even gotten to the good part yet. Go ahead and hit the closeout. Can y'all wait till next week? Go ahead, play me out, Charles.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
I had to get this much of
simply text
today,
the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give any time by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab. Then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
You're making a check, make it to JESM. Danny will receive it. If you have cash, just pay it forward and go bless somebody with it. I'm just going to leave you with this today. May the force be with you. Peace.